101, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, Ana Mateo is here to discuss the words and phrases we use to describe people who have similar ideas. Then, Kelly Jean Kelly joins us for her report on one of America's most famous presidents. But first, the Higher Education Report. Many American education experts are concerned about students' performance in the subject of mathematics. Scores on standardized tests are falling. Students are having trouble learning high-level math in college. And some teachers do not feel prepared to teach math to young people. Laura Jackson's daughter was 9 years old when she discovered that she was having a learning problem that her school was not prepared to deal with. Jackson said she started to worry about her daughter when she was having problems with math in third grade. She said other students had no trouble doing multiplication problems, but her daughter still used her fingers to count. At that point, the girl asked her mother if she was stupid. She was still having trouble with math, although she had been working with a special math teacher. Then Jackson heard about a learning problem from a friend. It is called dyscalculia. She looked up the learning disability and found that the learning problem prevents children from understanding numbers and learning math. Around the U.S., hundreds of thousands of students might have a math learning problem such as dyscalculia. However, most schools are not prepared to deal with the condition.
Schools are getting better at discovering learning problems. States passed laws that require testing young students for problems such as dyslexia, a common reading disability. But schools are not yet required to test for problems with numbers. Karen Wilson is a neuropsychologist who tests children for learning problems. There's not as much research on math disorders when compared to reading problems, she said. Math test scores have been decreasing in the U.S. for years, but the numbers got worse after the COVID-19 pandemic changed the way students learned. Few teachers say anyone has tested their students for dyscalculia. Education experts say the kind of slow and repetitive math teaching that helps students with dyscalculia might also help other students. Sandra Elliott currently works for TouchMath, an education company that sells a math teaching program. She said schools that change their teaching to help students who have severe disconnections and slower processing speeds will also help other students get better at math. Some schools, such as the one Jackson's daughter attended, do not always believe students have a serious math learning problem when they do well in other subjects. Jackson researched dyscalculia on her own and decided to write a book about her family's problems. She said parents think schools will let them know if their child is having trouble, but that's just not how it works.
Lynn Fuchs is a professor in special education and human development at Vanderbilt University in Tennessee. She said students with math learning problems need systematic and explicit teaching. That means they need math teachers who have learned how to help students who have a math disability. Most do not have enough training. For example, some states require teachers to get dyslexia awareness training in order to renew their teaching permit, but no such requirement exists for dyscalculia. Amelia Malone is a director at the National Center for Learning Disabilities. She said there are not enough high-level degrees in education that center on math learning disabilities with any level of depth, quality, or rigor. In addition, most schools do not have specialists who can work with math learning problems. Jackson said she took it upon herself to learn how to teach students with dyscalculia and started giving her daughter extra help. In New York City, some schools do look for math problems among their students. In 2015 and 2016, the city spent $6 million to introduce a math program with games, art projects, and songs. However, most school systems do not do that. Some education experts say students, such as Jackson's daughter, could improve if schools used different methods to teach math to young people. These could include games, wooden blocks, body motions, and songs. After spending time working with her daughter, Jackson said the girl returned to classes, and as her education continued, she started getting good grades in algebra. She said, students need to understand they are not bad at math. They need help learning and can then succeed in the subject. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Gina Bennett.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. On this program, we explore words and expressions in the English language. We give definitions, examples, and sometimes notes on usage. Have you ever found yourself in a group of people with similar ways of thinking and interests to yours? They understand you. They really get you. They may even be wearing similar clothing to yours. We have a great expression for this. Birds of a feather flock together. This means people of the same kind or with the same tastes and interests often find each other. Artists may spend time with other artists. Lawyers often talk about legal issues or court cases with other lawyers. And people who love languages like to discuss grammar and words with other language-loving people. We have many similar expressions, and many of them use the word mind or brain. If someone thinks like me, I can say we are like-minded. I can also say we are of like mind or of the same mind. There is also something called a hive mind. In a beehive, the bees all work together to achieve the same goal. People who are part of a hive mind have similar thoughts, ideas, and opinions. They often work together to discuss an issue or solve a problem. And sometimes I can joke that I share the same brain with those who share my thinking and attitudes. If you are a spiritual kind of person, You can call these people your kindred spirits. If you are more of a science person, you can say you are on the same wavelength. And if you are a person who likes to make things, you can use these two expressions, cut from the same cloth, cast from the same mold. All these expressions mean the same thing. You feel a strong connection to someone and feel very similar to them. We have another expression that can also be used in this situation. But we only use it when we have a similar idea with another person. Great minds think alike. If you often listen to VOA Learning English, you belong to a community of like-minded people. People who want to practice their English. Welcome to our family. Until next time, I'm Ana Mateo.
Thank you, Ana. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Learning English Podcast. You just heard Ana Mateo discuss a way to describe a group of like-minded people. Ana is not available today, but we are lucky at VOA Learning English. We have lots of people who like words and idioms in English. Here's one of those like-minded people now. It's Andrew Smith. Andrew, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Dan. And you're right. We do have a lot of people here who like helping people learn English. I'm happy to join you today.
Andrew, let's look at some phrases Ana used in this week's words and their stories. I wonder, do you think we have a bit of a hive mind here at VOA Learning English?
I think we do. We have people like Dr. Jill, John Russell, Dan Novak, and Faith Perlow, along with Ana. It's like we are all in the same beehive, all buzzing around, thinking of ways to help our listeners, readers, and viewers learn a little more about English every day. But Dan, would you say we are birds of a feather?
Andrew, I guess so. But the phrase Ana used this week, which was birds of a feather flock together, does not exactly describe all of us. I think the phrase has to do with birds who are all the same type, moving around from place to place at the same time. You might see a group of geese flying in formation. However, at VOA Learning English, one of the best things is we have different types of people. We all have different life experiences that we use to engage with our audience. But all of us have a common goal, and that is to teach English.
That's true, and that's a good point. We do have different life stories that we use to help our learners get better. In that way, we are what's called kindred spirits. We may not look the same like all those geese, but we have the same goals. You might say we are on the same wavelength when it comes to helping people learn.
That's a good point, Andrew. We're all on the same wavelength sometimes. And there are so many ways to express the idea of like-mindedness. Ana mentioned some others in her story. Can you remind us what they were?
Yes, that's, she said people can be cut from the same cloth or cast from the same mold. That's a way of saying two people are very similar. And she also discussed great minds think alike. In that case, you might use that expression if you and, say, a family member are discussing what to eat for dinner. If you both have the same idea, let's say roasting a chicken with spicy potatoes, which that sounds very tasty, by the way, you would say, great minds think alike.
Well, Andrew, great minds do think alike. I think my little niece, though, would say chicken and spicy pasta. But now I'm hungry for some chicken. I'll have to go shopping and get ready to make dinner. Thanks for chatting with us today, Andrew.
You're welcome, Dan.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about John Fitzgerald Kennedy. He was also known as Jack Kennedy, or by the letters JFK. When he took office in 1961, Kennedy was 43 years old. He was the youngest elected president in United States history. Kennedy was also the first Catholic to be elected U.S. president. Kennedy's youth and religion raised questions in the minds of some Americans that Kennedy could lead the country. They wondered if he would always follow the policies of the Roman Catholic Church. But Kennedy became well known as a statesman and popular with people around the world. He was intelligent, funny, and good-looking. For many, Kennedy was a sign of new energy and hope. The public was shocked then when the president's term was violently cut short. John F. Kennedy was born in 1917 near Boston, Massachusetts. He was the second of nine children. Both his parents were Catholic, with ancestors from Ireland. Many years ago, Irish Catholics faced discrimination in the United States. But the Kennedy family was also politically powerful and wealthy. As a result, young Jack Kennedy grew up in big, beautiful houses and received a top-quality education. His family did not suffer during the Great Depression, as many Americans had. Instead, the Kennedy children swam, sailed boats, and played sports. Jack also enjoyed reading books and following the news. His older brother Joe wanted to enter politics, but Jack said he might become a teacher or writer. When he was a college student at Harvard, Jack wrote a long paper about Britain in the years leading up to World War II. A version of it was published in 1940 as a book. The war changed Jack's thinking about his future plans. During World War II, both Jack and his older brother joined the U.S. Navy. In the Pacific, Jack became a hero. He won medals for leading some of his troops to safety after a Japanese warship struck a boat they were on. But Joe was killed. In 1944, his airplane exploded over Europe. When the war ended, Jack's father urged him to follow his brother's dream of succeeding in politics. Jack agreed, and he set his sights on becoming the country's first Catholic president. Kennedy was nominated as the Democratic Party's candidate, and he was elected in 1960. He easily defeated Vice President Richard Nixon, the Republican candidate, in the Electoral College. But Kennedy won only narrowly in the popular vote. Though he was young, Kennedy brought experience to the job. In addition to being a naval officer, Kennedy had been a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, as well as a senator from Massachusetts. He also published a Pulitzer Prize-winning book called profiles in courage. And he had become a husband and father. He married a wealthy, well-educated woman who had been working as a newspaper photographer. Her name was Jacqueline Bouvier, but she was sometimes called Jackie. She became pregnant 5 times, but only 2 of her children would survive, a daughter named Carolyn and a son, John F. Kennedy, Jr. The family of 4 moved into the White House in January 1961. On the day he was sworn in, Kennedy gave a speech that many people still remember today. It celebrated the new generation of Americans and promised to pay any price for liberty. Supporters of the new president loved his energy and sense of hope. In his most famous line, Kennedy said, "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." Many young people remembered that line when they volunteered for a program Kennedy created in 1961, the Peace Corps. Other Americans remembered the line when they watched 2 Apollo 11 astronauts walk on the moon in 1969. Kennedy strongly supported the country's space program. He promised that Americans would land on the moon by the end of the 1960s, and they did. Kennedy also supported efforts to improve civil rights across the U.S., although his administration moved slowly. Calls to end legalized racism were growing stronger during Kennedy's time in office, particularly because of the leadership of Martin Luther King, Jr. In June of 1963, King spoke to hundreds of thousands of people at a civil rights protest called the March on Washington. He told the crowd that he dreamed, "My 4 little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." The March on Washington, among other events, showed the power of the civil rights movement. In late 1963, President Kennedy sent a civil rights bill to Congress and spoke to Americans about the injustice that remained in the country. The Peace Corps, the space race, and civil rights are all part of Kennedy's legacy. Kennedy is also remembered for several troubling international events. In one, known as the Bay of Pigs, Americans supported Cuban refugees in an effort to oust the government of Fidel Castro. Not only did the refugees fail, but Kennedy's government was found to be lying about their support of the effort. And Kennedy faced off with the leader of the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev. In 1962, American leaders learned that the Soviets had hidden nuclear weapons in Cuba. The missiles would be able to reach the U.S. mainland easily. Kennedy ordered a blockade of Cuba. People around the world held their breath as they waited to see if the U.S. and the Soviet Union would launch a nuclear war. They did not. After several very tense weeks, Kennedy and Khrushchev reached an agreement that ended the crisis. Kennedy went on to reach an agreement with the Soviet Union and Britain to limit nuclear weapons testing. He said the agreement was one of the presidential acts of which he was most satisfied. Historians still debate Kennedy's actions and what else might have happened during his presidency. They wonder especially what he would have done about the increasing conflict in Vietnam. But Kennedy did not live to finish his first term. By November 22, 1963, Kennedy had been president for just under 3 years. The next election was still a year away, but it was time to start campaigning again. So the president and his wife went to Dallas, Texas, to connect with voters. They were riding in a car with other official vehicles that drove slowly through the center of the city. Jack, Jackie, and the Texas governor and his wife sat in a convertible, an automobile without protection over the seats. The president was waving at the crowd. Suddenly, several gunshots were fired. The president was struck twice. The governor was also hit and injured. Kennedy was hurried to a hospital, but doctors were unable to help him. News reporters announced his death to a stunned public. Hours later, Jackie Kennedy appeared next to the former vice president, now president, Lyndon Johnson. She still wore the clothes with her husband's blood on them. The events remain intense in the minds of many Americans who were alive at the time. The images remain easily recognizable parts of American history. The pictures of Kennedy's family at his funeral are especially memorable. In one, 3-year-old John holds up his arm and salutes his father's casket. Attention quickly turned to the gunman. It was reportedly a 24-year-old man named Lee Harvey Oswald. Shortly after the president and the governor were shot, Oswald shot a policeman who questioned him. Oswald was eventually detained. Officials planned to bring him to court for the death of the president and the policeman. But on the way from the police station to the jail, a local nightclub owner shot and killed Oswald. As a result, the case never came to trial. Many Americans believe the reason for the attack has yet to be clarified. Historians have a mixed reaction to Kennedy's years as a president, although their opinions are generally positive. His image with the public suffered some years after his death because of reports that he had romantic relationships with women other than Jackie throughout his marriage. In time, the public also learned about Kennedy's health problems. He suffered from severe back pain and Addison's disease. He often used strong medicine to help control the conditions. The health problems are at odds with Kennedy's image of health and love of sports. Yet even with these new details, Kennedy is still one of the country's best-remembered leaders. He was a charismatic man whose career influenced many other Americans to enter public service. Americans also remember his stylish, cultured wife. Jackie Kennedy compared the Kennedy years at the White House to Camelot, the legendary court of King Arthur. Their remains, along with those of two of their children, are buried at Arlington National Cemetery, across the Potomac River from Washington. They are honored there with an eternal flame, one designed so the fire will never go out. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's the Learning English Podcast for today. Thank you, Kelly, for that report. And thanks to our VOA colleagues for their work on today's program.
Most importantly, thank you for listening. For more, visit our website at learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Dan Friedell.